Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Hi, Seeds Church. I want to speak to you today, particularly about how you hear from God yourself. And I hope that by the end of today's service, you'll have a better idea about how to recognize God's voice in your life. I get the honor to be the last person to speak in our Characters of the New Testament series. And I hope is by bringing this information, you get a really clear understanding about who is involved in the New Testament and how that applies to your life, so that when you read the New Testament, you got a new understanding and new encouragement from reading it yourself. We're a story people, aren't we? And stories inform our faith. They encourage us and they give us an example of who we can become ourselves. And for the last one, I want to give you a brief overview of the Apostle Paul, probably one of the most significant persons in the New Testament and to whom we owe much of our current understanding of who Jesus is and how God interacts with our world. You know, he was a bright boy who came to a remarkable conversion experience that formed his understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, and how Jesus is central to our faith and life and theology, and then also the ongoing work of God's Holy Spirit. Then once you have a bit of an idea about him, I want to try and explain how he heard from God and how this can help you in how you can hear from God too. So let me lead you in prayer. Lord, we know that you're always speaking. Help us to be listening to your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've got a quote here from a second century person who described the Apostle Paul in this way. A man small in size, with meeting eyebrows, a rather large nose, bald-headed, bow-legged, strongly built, full of grace, for at times he looked like a man and at times he had the face of an angel. So let me give you an abridged description that I found about the life and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Just take a couple of minutes, so just stick with me and see if you can learn something here. Paul was born into a Jewish family in Tarsus, which is in modern-day Turkey. And his parents had the privilege of being Roman citizens. He was sent to Jerusalem as a young man for education. He was a strict Pharisee, which is really the leading religious group in Israel at that time. And even as a young man, he was outstanding in his Orthodox beliefs and renowned for his hatred of Christians. He was present at the stoning of Stephen and was commissioned to arrest disciples right across the known world, and particularly in Damascus, which he was converted on his way to fulfill his mission through a vision of the risen Jesus, and he was left temporarily blinded. You can find that in Acts 9 if you want. Befriended by Ananias, he was healed and begun to preach the message of the crucified, risen Jesus in Damascus. After a while, attempts were made against his life, and he had to escape by being lowered down the city wall in a basket. After quite a while in Arabia, Paul returned to Jerusalem where he was befriended by Barnabas and introduced to Peter. Lots more threats against his life forced him to run away, and he returned to Tarsus. He stayed there for about 10 years, and after that time, Barnabas summoned him to join in with a ministry. Paul's visits to Jerusalem again, taking with him famine reliefs and discussed a mission to other parts of the non-Jewish world, which the Bible refers to as the Gentile world. It's somewhere about here that Paul begins the missionary work to which will make him one of the most outstanding Christian missionaries of the first century, if not of all time. His first missionary journey was with Barnabas and John Mark in the parts of Cyprus, what is now present-day Turkey. On his return, he had a sharp disagreement with Peter about the Jewish religious customs and how they affected Gentile Christians. Although not long after this was all settled, it's what caused the council in Jerusalem, which we find in Acts 15. I encourage you, have a read of it and just see that for yourself. Paul now sets out, this time with Silas, and they travel through Turkey and into modern-day Greece, or in the old language, Asia Minor and Macedonia. They work hard in places like Corinth and Ephesus. After another visit to Jerusalem, Paul sets out on his third missionary journey, covering much of the same ground, and again with amazing results. Finally, returning to Jerusalem with money collected for poor Christians. It was there that Paul was seized by a mob and would have been killed if not for the intervention of the Roman soldiers. And this kicks off a long season of imprisonment for him, trials and travels to various important centres. Finally, appealing to Rome, he was shipwrecked on his way. Although it's hard to substantiate, it seems that Paul was in Rome for quite some years and then martyred. About the time, around about AD 64, under the persecution of the Emperor Nero. And you know the story, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. While he was fairly busy with his travelling and evangelism, he was a prolific writer. And what we have in the New Testament is a selection of his letters to the churches, most of which he planted, and he writes to correct, to encourage, and to teach. Some modern scholars ascertain there are only 7 books written by Paul in the New Testament, and the others were put together by his followers after he died. I struggle to have such certainty about documents written 2,000 years ago and actually find these academic musings unhelpful, probably a form of pretentious elitist snobbery, if I was to be honest. So I hold to 13 books, and they are Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. From the letters themselves, we know that Paul had help from a scribe to write to churches or individuals. And this was pretty common practice in Paul's time. It was like an executive assistant. The scribe would have written as Paul spoke out loud what he wanted to include in the letter. And in the letter to the Romans, the scribe identifies himself. He says, "I, Tertullus, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord." And that's from Romans 16, verse 22. It's fascinating the scribe was also a Christian who wanted to relay his greetings to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. In other letters, such as the one Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, Paul indicates when it was his own hand that wrote the actual words of the letter. And he says, for instance, "I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." That's from Colossians 4:18. The Apostle Paul gives us a great legacy of the understanding of the importance of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." His work tells us what this means for us now and how this was God's intent for all humanity, for all eternity. Specifically, the change that is in a person when they become a follower of Jesus. His phrase that is used quite often, "in Christ," is key. Now, Paul also helps us to understand things like grace and law, righteousness, justification, sanctification, eschatology, spiritual warfare, spiritual gifts. That it's a theologian's playground. It's wonderful. The list is long. In fact, he is our greatest asset when it comes to understanding the human understanding of the work of Jesus and how it applies to our lives, notwithstanding the work of the Holy Spirit, of course. But the second part of what I want to talk to you about today, and that's so the Apostle Paul's life and his missionary journey and all that sort of stuff, but is how does the Apostle Paul hear from God? And many people know that he was converted, like I've said, on the road to Damascus by a vision that he had from Jesus. And that certainly was a dramatic moment in his life. Yet in many other parts of the Bible, in the New Testament, he indicates that he has actually heard from Jesus. And I'm interested today in knowing, how did he hear from Jesus? How does he hear from God? I want us to know this so that we too can all hear from Jesus. And if you remember, I keep saying discipleship is two things. It's hearing from God and then obeying God. The problem is that if we think that Paul's Damascus Road experience, the dramatic conversion, turnaround experience that he had, is normal for Christians, then I'd say most of us have never heard from God. But we can't take the unique and make it usual. Yeah, of course, events like this happen in the Bible. Yes, it happens now, but this is not normal day-to-day Christian experience. So this last week, I've been on a search of Paul's writing and parts of the book of Acts to see what he did and how he heard from God. Now, interestingly, nowhere in Paul's writings can I find the instruction booklet that spells out the five-step process that he used to hear from God. However, scattered throughout his writings, we find his hopes and his prayers for the church, and from those we can discern quite a bit. And I've given you the top three, so here they are. The first is this. I want to take you to the most famous parts of Romans, or probably one of the most famous parts of Romans, in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Would you follow on with me? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is the most significant passage when it comes to hearing about God, hearing the voice of God, because hearing is all about knowing God's will for you, right? That's what we all want to know, because when we step into the will of God, what happens? We are in the best place we can be. Now, what's being communicated here is that God often speaks to you through your mind. And what God wants you to do is to develop what Paul would describe as the mind of Christ, the ability to make decisions as Jesus would. In other words, to think like Jesus, if I was to make it really simple. To know what God wants you to do in the circumstances that are in front of you. And the Apostle Paul is talking not just about opening your mind, but the very renewing of it, the renovation, the revitalization of your mind. Why? Because our minds are focused on us, on our things, and not what God wants for us. You know, since Adam and Eve sinned, humanity's minds are full of godless thoughts. So here's the deal. How can you hear God's voice when you are not in sync with him, when your mind is not in tune with him, when your mind is somewhere else? Now, we all know what it's like. Here's an example. We all know what it's like when someone pulls out their phone and checks Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or their text messages, even something simple, when you're trying to have a conversation with them. We all know what that's like, don't we? And I would probably just do this at the moment, but I'm filming this on my phone, so I can't illustrate it to you. But you know what it's like, because it's pretty annoying, right? But more than that, it's rude when people do that. There's a barrier that comes between you and the other person because they're saying something else is more important than the conversation with you. Renewing our minds means this: putting down the phone and clearing out the things that stop us from hearing God's voice. We have to get rid of the dirt, the clutter, the false belief, the false attitudes, our unhealthy feelings, our unwise plans. And then over time, if we do that, if we constantly do that, it's not a one-off event. It's a constant single struggle to hear God's voice, to renew our minds. When we do that, over time, the Holy Spirit replace all that with true thoughts that reflect God's purposes. When you do this, when you clear your mind of you, consciously, daily, say, "Lord, speak to me in my mind. Help me take away those things that are not of you. Help me put aside those things that are from me and pick up those things that are from you." God will listen, and you'll hear God speak through your thoughts. That is true. And God will use ordinary practices such as reading your Bible or praying quietly or learning from circumstances or seeking advice from godly advice from other Christians to reach you when you think about them. It is true, God will use dramatic means to get your attention when necessary. But here's the point, this point that I want to make. His goal for you is to be so closely connected to him that you'll pay attention whenever he speaks to you. Usually God speaks through what people have described as a still, small voice. To encourage those he loves to keep walking closely with him through life. And that still small voice comes from the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind comes from deliberately choosing God's things, God's thoughts, God's ways over yours. So if you're driving home, don't just have the radio on. Spend a few minutes in prayer. Say, God, speak to me. God, take away my thoughts. Cleanse my mind, make it clear and open to you speaking. Do that. Do that regularly and often, and you'll find a significant change. Here's the second thing I want to say. Secondly, the Apostle Paul suggests that we get to hear God through his Spirit. Let me read to you a passage from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 10, if you're taking notes. And it says this, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Let me just repeat that last phrase again. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Now, clearly reading that, Paul has had experience from hearing the Spirit. In fact, he mentions it on many occasions that the Spirit reveals things. So the question is, how does this work for us? How do we hear from the Spirit? A little later in that same passage, we find the clue, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What we have received is not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Let me put that in other words. The Apostle Paul says, we hear through the Spirit because why? Because it's the Spirit's job. That's what the Spirit does. Do you understand? Do you hear these last few verses? That we can understand what God has for us because the Spirit teaches us a new reality. So here's the thing. Because this is nothing, this is something that you don't have to do. You don't think that this is something you have to do. It's something you have to embrace. It's not something you have to achieve. It's something you have to recognize, take on board. If we take seriously the first point that I spoke about a moment ago, having a renewed mind, then the one about the Spirit teaching us comes naturally. It follows on from that. You see, what I think Paul is telling us is that this is the gift of God for the people of God. That's you. God wants you to know his mind, so he's given the Spirit that you might be able to access his mind. The Spirit desires to teach us, to tell us the deep things of God, for us to know God and to draw close to God. That's what God wants. And the tools are there waiting for you to embrace them. Right at the bottom of the chapter, there is a wonderful statement of fact for us to embrace. And it starts with a question. Let me read it to you. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul is telling us that we, everyone who loves Jesus, has his mind. That's to say, we can understand God's will for our lives. It's already there. We just have to accept it and take it by faith. The Spirit helps us by promoting us, by leading us gently, by moving circumstances and directing our path. For a believer, there are very little coincidences in our lives. Our problem is that our minds are dull to the Spirit's activities, and we miss what the Spirit is saying to us. Now, at the very end, in a couple of moments, I'm going to give you some practical tips of things you can do to access the Spirit's wisdom. But let me give you the last thing, the third thing. Because the Apostle Paul uses Scripture to hear the voice of God. And some of you might be saying, Jonathan, hang on a minute. Didn't he write a fair bit of it? And we're like, yeah, he did. But he was deeply steeped in the Old Testament. In Galatians 1, verse 17, there is a really curious verse. It's in the context of Paul explaining what he did after he was converted. So Galatians 1, 17, it says this, I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. What does it mean when he says, I went to Arabia? There's been a lot of speculation about this. What exactly did Paul do? And best guess of reliable scholars is that he was there for a period of 3 years, that Paul was there in that part of the Middle East. Sometimes this period is described as a spiritual retreat into the desert to work out the implications of what just happened to him when he met his encounter with Jesus, when he met the risen Christ. I think that this is certain. I think what is certain is that Paul begins working through what Jesus as Messiah means to all his background and all his study and all his learning. And I reckon he likely spent a great deal of time reading the Scriptures, developing the material that he would use later in Antioch and then on missionary journeys. This was the foundation, reading Scriptures, but understanding them through the light of the vision that he had of the risen, the crucified, risen and ascended Jesus. And we've already seen those Scriptures coming out in his letters. In fact, I've already quoted some in this sermon already. But take, for instance, Acts 28, verse 25. Let me read it to you. Acts 28, verse 25. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you'll be ever hearing and never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their ears, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, verse 28. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Verse 28 tells us important things. It tells us that God was speaking to Paul through the passage, which comes from Isaiah chapter 6, a beautiful part of the Scriptures. Paul hears, get this, Paul hears God through the Scriptures, through the Old Testament. And the fact that he takes the time to hear means that he hears even more. He sets aside time and he hears God through the Scriptures. We too. Like this, like I'd have said this 100 times if I've said it once. We too need to hear from the Scriptures daily. So, I don't want to go on too much longer, but I want to say to know these three things, to understand these three things. And maybe we could say these are three significant things that Paul uses to hear the voice of God that we can too. Okay? His mind, the Spirit. He allows the Spirit to speak and he hears from the Scriptures. He does so by the mind. I've said this. Keeping it clean in sync with Jesus. He does so by the Spirit, knowing the Spirit's job. And he does so by Scripture, hearing God's heart and instructions through it. I said I'd give you some really practical things, some things that maybe will help you. So let me lead out a couple of practical things. And if you're taking notes, these are great things to jot down. So here's the first thing. What's getting my attention at the moment? So what's getting my attention? As a believer, as a follower in Jesus, what's getting my attention at the moment? Because you know what my suspicion is? Fathers talk to their children regularly. Okay? Expect your father to talk to you. What scares me or excites me now? Okay? What scares me or excites me now? Is this the voice of the Spirit speaking through that? Good question to ask and pray through. What am I reading and learning in Scripture? And what do I believe God is saying to me through it? Remember, it's hearing and obeying. One part of the Bible, it says, hearing comes from the Word. Okay? So read your Scriptures constantly. And if you can't read them, then listen to them. Put on YouVersion app and put it in the car or put those things in your ear and listen to it and hear it. Allow it to wash into you. And lastly, what am I praying about? What do I find myself praying about? What keeps coming into my prayers? What is the burden of my heart at the moment? Could it be this is the prompting of the Holy Spirit for me to do something in the economy of God? So then, my friends, a little bit about the Apostle Paul, a little bit about how Paul hears from God. Look, take one of these things and implement it in your life and see your life change. Let me lead you in prayer. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much for your love to us. We thank you that you speak to us, that you're constantly speaking. Help us to be constantly listening. I pray for my friends, wherever they are, whoever they are, when they are listening to this, Lord Jesus, would you open their minds, transform their minds, speak by your Spirit, speak by your Word, that we can be closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.